I like challenges. Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I enjoy a challenge. If you say I can't do it, I like to be able to try. Many, many times in my life, in many, many different circumstances, when people have told me it can't be done, I have found that in the grace of God, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, the refreshing of the presence of Christ, I've been able to do it. To use one of Paul's most beautiful expressions, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Now, it's all because of Jesus that we are strengthened. As a saint, that is a person believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, that is a person who is seeking to live holily and unblameably before people in the world and yet not become so tainted with the things of the world that we are still separated from this world in which we live. Paul says something that challenges me. It sort of says what I didn't want to hear. I don't want to be told that I've got to do this or that or the other, because I'm surely capable of working things out all on my own. I'm one of those persons who likes to get things going and keep things going. I don't want to fail. But in Romans 12:9, the Authorized Version says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Hold fast to that which is good." Now, the word dissimulation, the word abhor, we don't use very much in this generation. But let me read this to you in another paraphrase. It simply says, love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. A few nights ago, a dear young couple phoned us and said, "We're bringing you dinner tonight, and we're coming, and we're going to stay and eat dinner with you." And they came and they brought some pork chops and some mashed potatoes and some vegetables. And we sat and had a feast because the Lord had laid on their hearts to be inventive in hospitality. They wanted us to enjoy their fellowship, and we were glad to accept their fellowship. And so hold fast to that which is good, or practice playing the second fiddle. Don't be too anxious to be the first fiddle. Those of you in orchestras know what it's like to try to be the first string instrument that leads the rest of the strings, or the first of the wind people that play their various instruments. You like to be first. You get the first chair. It's rather nice. But these are seeds, and they're seeds that are growing in place, and they should be growing in the place where the gifts of the Spirit are revealed. We are to do all these things without hypocrisy. Another word is without pretense or sham, without a mask. Hypocrisy is such a poison. How to use our gifts. True love must leave the stage and get into the real life, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, And we must remember God is love and dwells within us. There's no real definition of love here. Love is to take off every disguise and live without heartbroken things around us. We live in a world that is torn to shreds. The world must see that there is strength in the love that we share with one another. We are redeemed by love. We are possessed by His love. Now, to be possessed by the love of Jesus is that we walk in His footsteps. We walk in His grace. We walk because we are in His grace, and therefore we are called the saints, the ambassadors of Christ. We are here to protect and reveal. We are here to represent and show to people what the greatness is, the height and the length and the depth and the breadth of the great love of Christ is. Now, it's very easy to not show that. It's very easy to jump to conclusions. It's very easy to have opinions, and our opinions become so indwelt in us that we can't break away from thinking of 20, 30 years ago, and we still have this wretchedness that we approach certain areas of life with that have actually turned into some sort of bitterness. I hate bitterness, and I can't tolerate bitterness. First, I can't tolerate it in my own soul, and will not. I will call out loudly, Lord Jesus, deliver me from bitterness. I will call out loudly, show me a kinder, gentler way. Let me get out of the bitterness. I knew a lady who had had a very bitter childhood, very, very bitter. And she had lost her mother during the time of the beginning of this bitterness. And then she had lived with a father who was somewhat cruel and over-demanding of her. And she didn't know what to do, and she ran away. And she got mixed up in all kinds of different things. We don't know exactly what, for she's never told us. But she got into a frame of thinking and a frame of reference that only marriage and having her own family brought her out of those circumstances. But then she went into another time of excruciating agony. Agony from the heart. In the First World War, she'd lost some dear relatives. And in the Second World War that now burst upon her, she was faced with protecting her children and husband, and she made it a personal thing. And she stood very strongly for that family. And no matter what happened, no matter what came, that woman stood strong. But something had happened in her life, and before she got married, she had discovered in the 1920s somewhere, she had discovered that there was peace. And though she had some peace, she allowed bitterness to show through. But she had the peace of God in her heart somewhere. And every once in a while, the husband and children saw it, and the people at church saw it. But she just defended those children and defended that man to every ounce of her strength. She lived on. Peace came. And after the peace came from the Second World War, her children were growing and soon to leave home, and she reverted to this bitterness. It soured her life. It soured everything in her life. It shriveled her up into something that she really wasn't. All the fightings and the fears that were revealed, all the terrible things that were said and rejected and accepted, and so on it goes. And this woman was tormented She became 80 years old, and on her knees one day she was bearing her heart to the Lord Jesus, and he healed her of all her bitterness. It was a joy to meet this elderly lady again, for the bitterness was gone, and the joy of the Lord replaced it, and the joy of Jesus stood out very, very positively. Oh, she could still take on anybody that wanted to fight, but she didn't have to, and she realized that she was caught in the grace of God and in the love of Jesus. I've seen that. You see, it's important to realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't leave you too much leeway. You can drink, I suppose, alcohol, but if you take it to excess, it is a dangerous place to be. The Holy Spirit can fill your life with calmness and sweetness and healing where alcohol cannot even help. In fact, alcohol will bring the reverse effect upon your life. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, should you smoke? Now let's look at some of the things that our politicians say are okay. There are areas in this country, and we say, well, they've done it in Holland, in Amsterdam in particular, and they've done it in Denmark and so on. And so we want to be sort of metropolitan. We want to be cosmopolitan. We want to be amongst the new young people. Dear young people, let me tell you, the destruction that any drug, whether it's prescribed or otherwise, the drug business is awful. And if you take too much of any drug, you can suffer dreadfully. A young man wanted to be a strong man with muscles when he was a teenager, and he took steroids. He got married and then found that he was infertile. Oh, how did that happen? Look at this great, beautiful body of his, and yet he was infertile. Let me say this to you carefully, young people. Be very, very careful, because no matter what the drug, it has problems. Oh, it may not affect you right now. It may not affect you for a long time. But it will eventually catch up with you and cause you great harm. Drugs are good when absolutely necessary. But the drug market is not necessary these days. We don't have to allow drugs into our society. And it is not a sociological necessity to have smoked pot or whatever it is that people have. It is not necessary. I knew a drug pusher. He told me that's what he was, and I didn't really know what it was, and I asked him. He said, well, I can buy drugs of any sort I want, and I can get it for you at any price you want. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. Why can't I go to the doctor and get what drugs I need? Well, you can, he said, but this way you are sure of getting what you want. What do I know about drugs? I'm not a chemist. I've never studied drugs. And all I've seen is what has happened to people that have taken drugs. It's a dreadful thing to dishonor the temple of the Holy Spirit. We must remember God is love and dwells within us. That's why we're called saints. That's why we're called holy. That's why we're called blameless. That's why we are his. We don't belong to this world. And we can do without most of this world's help. Love is to take off every disguise. I've often thought it was terrible that a man thought he was marrying one of the daughters. You can read this in Genesis. And found himself in the morning after the ceremony and after all the celebration of the marriage feast, found that he had actually married the older daughter. Now, the older one was ugly, and she didn't see very well, but the younger one was beautiful and saw quite well. But he worked hard, and he stayed working there until eventually he earned the second wife, the younger wife. He was tricked. His name meant trickster. We know it as Jacob. And because Jacob was a trickster, he got tricked. How would that happen? Well, God has said quite simply, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow in the flesh to corruption of the flesh, we will get corruption. We have to understand that. It's like a man that lives by the sword, he'll die by the sword. A man that lives in violence will die in violence, is a modern way of saying that. We waste our time trying to do something for our bodies. I'm appalled sometimes at all the things that they can do to our bodies to make us look, why, only 60 years old. And here I am, 80, and look, this is me now after Dr. So-and-so has worked his magic on my face. They don't show you the rest of the body, which must be a terrible mess by comparison. You see, all masks are taken away. No disguise will ever keep us from the Lord Jesus. We cannot understand that sometimes. I had some fun one day at the front door of our house. There was a knocking at the door, and I went to open the door, and I opened it, and there's two fellows standing there in camouflage. "Good morning, sir," they said. "Can we hunt on your land?" Well, I only have 5 acres, but it's in the midst of a lot of other acres that don't belong to me. And I called my wife. I said, "Help me. I hear a voice, but I can't see the people that are speaking to me." And she came and looked bewildered at me and thought I was perhaps having some elderly fit or another. And she said, "Well, there are two men." I said, "Where? Where are these men?" One man said, "Well, I'm here." I said, "Oh, but you're wearing camouflage. How can I see you if you wear camouflage? You fade into the background." And we all laughed, and they got the point, and of course they could hunt. We had a time of very sweet fellowship, though they felt a bit foolish. But their faces were painted, their camouflage hat, their camouflage jackets and shirts and trousers and boots even were wearing camouflage. And they didn't expect to be seen. We sometimes put a mask on and pretend to be so righteous, so correct, so in love with Jesus, but he knows our hearts. He knows our hearts, and he knows our ways, and he knows that we turn to the left and we turn to the right when we should be going on with him. Dear friends, you who would say that you are a saint for Jesus, you who are my dear friends over the air here, think about this. Don't disguise yourself as one thing and be something else. Don't wear the mask of hypocrisy. There are things to hate. And I know that word hate. I used it one day with a friend of mine. And she took a step backwards. She said, "Hate is awful. That's a terrible word." Well, the word here is abhor. Now, listen to this word. It's not an easy word to digest. It says, abhor that which is evil. The word in English today is hate that which is evil. Hate it. Turn your back on it. Have nothing to say to it. Hate evil. You know, if we were to do this, our politicians would be in a terrific pickle. When you consider, just for a moment, that God hates liars, the word is written for us in the scripture here, he hates liars. Well, if he hates them so strongly, why do they continue to be liars? Why do they pretend and not perform? If we were to say that that person that's just admitted to misspeaking is actually a liar, why, half the Senate and half the Congress and maybe even people in the White House would be absolutely destroyed. How can God hate us? We are the leaders. Don't tell lies. If you're a leader, stop it. Well, you see, the Lord Jesus loathed sham. He exposed deceit and guile and trickery. And we're called upon to be like the Lord Jesus. Now, if you turn for a moment into Proverbs 6 and verses 16 through 19, there are seven things to hate. A proud look is number one. These are haughty eyes, cleaning first the heart, look with loving kindness. And the second is a lying tongue, because Satan is the father of lies. Third, hands that shed innocent blood. God hates the violence of men's hearts and men's actions. He absolutely hates it. And this is all from this word abhor or hate. This is what God says. And then in the fourth instance, I place in front of you a heart devises wicked plans or imaginations. The imagination for what it is good and not evil. Don't let your heart plan evil. Don't let it plan evil. We hear that this person had a sense of premeditation with regard to this crime or this murder. We need to be very, very, very careful about this. And in our carefulness, we need to look very keenly, because God absolutely hates the man or woman that plans and has imaginations that are not for good. And then look, it says here, feet that make haste to run to do evil, to cooperate with evildoers. Don't be a person that does that. All you can say is, I will not meet with these people and I will not be involved. And then the sixth thing here is a false witness who breathes out lies. To be a false witness is abominable. People lie and it doesn't matter. They destroy one another with lies. They commit murder of a person's personality, and they don't seem to care. How many pastors have sat with me in my office or in their home somehow and have wept over the fact that people have accused them of things they never did, never thought of doing, but because the persons that said what they said sounded so right, other people agreed, and they were assassinated by a false witness. And then, last of all, a man who sows discord among the brethren. Leaders of parties or nations that stir up the people, who divide to rule. For Christians to be at variance is a bad testimony. And I have to stop because of the time factor, but I want to leave with you. Let the love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Hang on to the things that belong to the Lord Jesus, and show his glory and show his presence. and reveal his love. The Lord is on his throne. Praise his name. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, will you keep us as a group of people that love you, not because we have a denominational affiliation, not because we belong to a particular group, but because simply we are born again, we are washed in the blood, we are cleansed by your Spirit, and we are kept for eternity close to you. Bless us now. Bless your word, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for listening. The Lord bless and keep you. Bye-bye.